There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Easy to get in touch with the show, and you can do it several ways for a phone call or a text. Just use the number 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can use the microphone icon on the front page to leave us one of those talkback messages. Records you, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. All right, obviously, a lot to talk about over the next 2 hours, and I'm bringing this man on as our leadoff batter on today. You know him from Alabama Daily News, Capital Journal, and appearances on, well, I would argue any radio show worth its salt in the state of Alabama. It's Todd Stacey, and the crowd goes wild. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm okay. I want to say this before we go further, y'all, because I brag when I'm up in College Pick'em. So we got this College Pick'em. We got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of listeners. We compete each week for pick it or college games, right? Now, okay. I can't win the grand prize. It's an awesome grand prize, but I'm in it. Those of us here that work here, we're just in it to talk, you know, to talk trash, and then the listeners actually can win the prize. I was like number 70-something. For a while there, I got bumped to 120. So it was not my best week. Our teams won. It was good, but it was...
Is it a spread thing?
Yeah, it massacred me. It was not. Yeah. It was not good. It was not good. So, but I'm just
better luck this week.
Yes, thank you. Because I came in here, you know, all you know, strutting around like, you know, rooster when I was doing good. I am going to, you know, take my lick when I don't do so good. A lot to talk about, and I want to, we'll get to the Charlie Kirk stuff, but I do want to, you lead off with the email and a new poll out there, and I'm always hungry, or what do the kids say, thirsty? I'm thirsty for the polls out there. I'm thirsty, man. New polling out there in the Senate race. What are you seeing?
That's right. So this new poll, it's called the Alabama poll. We'll get to a better explanation of that, but it's a statewide scientific poll of the 2026 elections, and they're surveying just the Republican primary. There's really no point to, you know, surveying Democrats at this point. So what the big takeaway is that Steve Marshall has a big lead in his race for the U.S. Senate. When asked if the election was held today, who would you vote for? He got 37% of the vote, which is pretty good at this point in the race. I mean, we're still several months away. Barry Moore, his chief opponent, who's, you know, obviously the congressman down there, 16%. So, you know, he's got a double-digit lead over his most serious competitor, and 7% for Jared Hudson, who, you know, is the retired Marine who's also running. Now, we got to caveat this. It's obviously very good news for Marshall, but a full 40% of voters remain undecided in that race. So it's still anybody's election, but you'd rather be Steve Marshall at this point than Barry Moore. 37%. And what it is, Sean, is, you know, Marshall has been Attorney General for two terms, more than two terms, actually, because he took office before that election. And so that earns you name recognition. And it especially earns you name recognition when you run twice statewide for Attorney General. So he's enjoying some of that. It's really buoying his numbers. Barry Moore, you know, he's less known in the northern part of the state. And so he's got a lot of work to do to catch up. He's got to raise a lot of money and do a lot of advertising on TV and radio to get to catch up with just that name recognition.
You wonder, and we talked about it through the summer, there was going to be an announcement in June from Barrymore, and then it didn't happen. It was going to be July, and then it was August with the announcement. Do you think they were looking at things like this? I was wondering about that. Did they kind of gauge, because you think every week you let, you know, Steve Marshall be on the radar and not Barry Moore, you are getting, you're dropping back, you're getting in the rear view on that. I wonder what the political calculus on that is.
Yeah, that's a good question. I was wondering about it too. The one, I don't know, benefit I could see in waiting is, you know, once you announce, you know, media like us, we treat you like a candidate, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to have equal time, and you really don't want to have one candidate on more than another and things like that. And so if you wait, then maybe you get more earned media. Maybe that was his thinking. Like, you know, through his actions in Congress, lots of interesting, you know, legislation moving through, maybe he could get more earned media and not have to be treated like a candidate. But, you know, that said, there's no question Marshall has got a head start here. And one of the chief reasons why this is significant is this is going to be a heated race. I think we all know that. We know that, I mean, Barry Moore would not be getting in this if he wasn't serious, if he didn't think he could line up some serious support, because he didn't have to, right? He could run for re-election. He chose not to do that. So right now, people in Washington especially, Montgomery too, but especially in Washington, are watching to see what's happening. And I promise you, this poll is making its rounds in Washington through those associations, through, you know, the influential groups that make determinations about who they're going to support, chiefly Club for Growth. You know, we've talked a lot about them in the past. And, you know, if you're Club for Growth looking at this early poll, maybe you were considering, you know, they've been with Barry Moore for a long time and always attacked his opponents.
But
you're looking at this poll, I don't know. That might make you think twice.
Right. Well, you and I talked about this months ago, right? So, I mean, Club for Growth is going to come in for the, you know, we would think, okay, well, of course it would come in for Barry Moore. They have in the past. But they also have been, in a way, supporters of Steve Marshall.
Well, I don't know if they've...
I mean, they've liked this. He's been on the same things that Steve Marshall has moved on, right?
Right. There's no daylight between Steve Marshall and what
like,
you know,
have Club for Growth tell me Steve Marshall has a liberal record right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm waiting for that one.
right.
That's Steve Marshall. I mean, they'll say, I mean, they can go back, oh, so-and-so is a Democrat. But, I mean, give me the recent work, body of work, and have... You know, have them come out and all of a sudden say, you know, in some minor key chord music playing in the background and gravel voice guy tells you that he's a liberal. I mean, it's not, what are they going to do? What kind of ad are they going to run?
Well, Well, the same thing could be said of the last two times they came out and attacked Barry Moore's opponents.
They attacked Jerry Carl. It's like,
right. It doesn't have to be true. It's just they're kind of pick. They just try to kind of pick them. It's not. It really isn't ideological. I mean, we're down here in Alabama. It's a Republican state. Everybody's conservative. It's hard to out-conservative anybody else. But what Club for Growth wants generally is to have picked the winner and to have somebody in Congress they can go to, right? That's what it's all about. And so they've done well in some places, but they had egg on their face in the last Senate race when they went after Katie Britt, spent millions. I think it's like $4 million attacking Katie Britt. Now she's, you know, a very prominent U.S. senator. So they struck out on that one. So it just goes to show, like, they don't want that to happen again. And if I'm them seeing a poll like this, I know they're looking at this right now. And I would definitely think twice about doubling down on more. You know, they could always just stay out of the race, but you never know. They could support Steve Marshall. Who knows?
But I don't know. I mean, yes, they can stay out of the race. Can they do it? I don't, you know, they seem to have a taste for races in Alabama. And speaking of this, so you said they'd like to pick the winner. Beyond that, what is their ROI, right? Because you're not changing the, like, the votes are going to come down. Either person, it was elected senators, the votes will come down in Washington the same way, I really would imagine. So where's the payoff? Where's the ROI for Club for Growth?
Well, you're right in terms of how it works right now, because most votes are pretty decided, right? It's just Republicans versus Democrats. But it wasn't too long ago that was not always the case. And there were fights within the Republican Party about taking positions. And that's what they want. They want their campaign war chest and their endorsement and their willingness to go after somebody to influence members of Congress and, senators to vote their way based on their scorecard. They have one of those scorecards. I just hate those things because they're just kind of ridiculous. And that's how they prove their worth to their donors. And that's what it's really all about. We spent a lot of money attacking your opponent. We just showed, the country how effective we can be and how much money we're willing to spend. So while you're voting, you better think twice about getting away from our position on this issue. It doesn't happen so much right now, but it will again in the future. And those scorecards have been a real problem within the Republican conference for a long time. And there will come a time when it will again. So I think that's their investment, is knowing that those days will come back eventually.
All right, Ted, some insight into it, which I appreciate. And, of course, y'all been covering it. And, of course, we have all through the end of last week and today, the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Your just thoughts is just not even Todd Stacey, media guy. Media guy, but not even you're putting something out. Your thoughts on this?
I mean, I was on vacation all last week, and we got word. I mean, I was out of the country, right? So it's kind of strange to be in another country when something so significant, a major, major event happens to your country. And that's kind of what it felt like. It was very eerie and just, I don't know, chilling. I'm getting chills right now just thinking about it. I mean, just the horrific nature of it. So, I mean, I think I feel the same as everybody else. I'm just shook to my core this even happened. At the same time, I see images all over Twitter today of these vigils that are taking place, not just the big one in Washington, but all over the country. And these are some younger people, the college age that he was so successful in engaging, but not just them. This is just kind of normal people from all over the country who are, finding ways to gather, and it's, remember him specifically, but I think it's bigger than that. I think it's not just about Charlie Kirk, but about gathering and uniting and just showing up. That's what it looks like to me, at least. Obviously, it's a memorial for him and a vigil and things like that, but I really do think it's bigger than that. This is what it seems to be. A lot of return to prayer, and that's obviously good to see. So, you never could imagine something so horrific would happen, but the glimmer of hope, I guess, when you look for hope in things, situations like this. And so when I see those images all around the country of folks gathering, that gives me a little hope.
Yeah, and maybe it does go that way, in a way of hope versus a way of everybody even getting more in their corners and, to see that. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the positive. I mean, it's a very, very gray cloud. Maybe there's some silver lining in it. I asked a question last week. Maybe it was premature, but I mean, will we have a Spartacus moment? I'm Spartacus, where people are going to stand up. Is it going to be I hope the big media doesn't tell us who the next Charlie Kirk is. You know what I'm saying? That there is a new Charlie Kirk, but it didn't now here, everybody, here's your new Charlie Kirk. You know how they'll do that. They'll say, oh, this person's gone. Now we're going to force this new thing on you. Maybe there's some matriculation for somebody out there that,
well,
is
the
ready to go.
Yeah, and the biggest thing to me, and I've been learning more about him, right?
I didn't listen to him weekly. I was aware of him, but I didn't, I didn't.
Yeah, I'm not his demographic, really. Yeah. And so
think about how much older than you I am. Yeah.
So I'm learning a lot about him. And the more I learn, it's that, you know, he what he really wanted, especially as his organization got more and more mature, and he got more mature, is dialogue. Like, yeah, let's argue, but we're going to do it, you know, respectfully, and we're going to listen to each other and listen to points of views and all that kind of stuff. And it can get pretty heated. I've seen some of these exchanges, but at least they're debating. And I think we need to take that away from him, because that's what we need. It's not that we're so divided. We obviously are. But the two sides don't talk to each other, don't debate. We need more debate. Let's have a debate. The two sides don't debate really anymore. They just shout at each other from their, you know, their corners. I think if we had more debate, and we maybe an honest to God understanding of our countrymen's views that are different than ours, maybe, you know, we could find, you know, a way to understand each other. But so if that could be his legacy, and if that could somehow trickle out, I think that would be, I would certainly welcome that. I don't think we need more anger.
No, I'd say just use, you know, this is something I was talking about last week. Let's look at the places there's not debate going. There's not debate between Ukraine and Russia. Not debate between, Hamas and Israel. There's not debate in Myanmar. There's not debate in Haiti. There's not debate.
Yeah.
And look at those places.
Yeah, and there's some African countries.
Yeah, Sudan.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah. And so and one
they're
thing
not debating. They're not
right.
debating. They're not debating. They're not debating in the public square.
Yeah, and I'll mention this too. We've got to really rethink our social media, not just as consumers of it, but as a country. First of all, the president needs to enforce that law that the Congress passed and he signed, essentially doing away with TikTok. That is a cesspool of just crap, and it needs, I mean, it's, they passed it, he needs to do it. But we've really got to rethink our consumption of social media, because the algorithm is just going to feed you more of what you know what they think you want, you know, and anger really, you know, stirs the pot. And so we really, I think, got to rethink our social media consumption and what that does to us in our minds. I think that's part of it. I think policy-wise, too, there could be some different policies when it comes to social media, because these younger kids, I call them kids. I mean, obviously, what we're that assassin, I think he's a kid. These are babies, you know, and their entire lives have been spent online on social media, and I think it has helped poison them. And that's, you know, look at the majority of these incidents, and it is young people. And I think we need to think about the impact of social media and just the cesspool that it can be, especially on places like TikTok.
Well, I will disagree with you on the first premise, agree with you wholeheartedly on the second. I don't think you ban the things, but I think people really, truly need to engage in, you know, limiting or having.
Well, and
I wish people
I mean
had critical
that, Sean,
thinking, it, critical thinking that, on online if they use critical
right.
thinking.
I agree with that. TikTok is an exception because it's run by the Chinese Communist Party, and they have every interest in helping America destroy itself from within. And I am absolutely convinced that's what they are doing. So
there you go. Todd, appreciate it. We'll pick that part up next week when you come back on. Tell folks how to get the email in their inbox 6 days a week.
ALDailyNews.com. Go and you can read about all that polling.
It's yeah, y'all dig through that. There's some gubernatorial polling in the mix as well. And if they want to check out Capital Journal, if they missed it on Friday night, is there still a chance they can see it?
Oh, absolutely. It's on YouTube. I was out of town, so I wasn't hosting. But we're going to be back on the air this Friday. It'll be a good show.
All right. Good stuff. Todd, thanks, man.
Thank you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1228 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Lots of text to get to, and we will do these after the news, you know, lined up here. Yeah, well, you get to some of those. Also, I throw in, if you check out our Facebook page, you heard the update from Devin there on WKRG about the fight breaking out at the Charlie Kirk vigil in Pensacola. Pensacola? I mean, aren't y'all like down at the beach or something, or going to kind of raw bars? But Pensacola, it says Pensacola Police Department looking for a suspect after a disturbance last night at a vigil for Charlie Kirk. Officers say a fight broke out among some people after 6 o'clock at the Graffiti Bridge. One person sprayed pepper spray. Another person was hit, requiring medical attention. Victim was taken to the hospital for treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. The person who sprayed the pepper spray left the scene before the officers arrived. And it gives a number, if you've got information, to call Crime Stoppers or the police there in Pensacola. But the picture of the Graffiti Bridge, and Leanna has it up on our Facebook page. You got to go check it out. Facebook.com/FM Talk 1065. It was painted for a Charlie Kirk memorial, and then within, I don't know, not long afterwards, it'd been sprayed over, and the things that were sprayed on there, written on there, you need to check out. This is the flashpoint? Seems like for some it is. We'll continue that conversation when we get back. 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5. Getting into some text here. Oh, and a heads up, too. Sometime between now and 2 o'clock, which should be the end of the show, got a family four-pack of tickets to the G&D Outdoor Expo. Get started on Friday at the grounds. I'll be doing this show, Midday Mobile, from there on Friday, and then also special outdoor show on site on Saturday. But I've got people been asking me about tickets. You got a chance to win a four-pack. So all 3 days, gets you in all 3 days, four-pack of tickets sometime between now and 2 o'clock. It'll be on the telephone. So warning, Leanna, it'll be on the telephone. I know people say, well, the text, well, it's hard when people are on the phone, on the text line. We'll do it on the phones. Maybe we'll do something different tomorrow, but today we'll be on the phones. So you need to make sure to have it ready to go, 343-0106, on your telephone for a phone call. It'll be a caller number something, kind of the old day. I mean, I made a living out doing that for decades. All right, caller so-and-so, you get the tickets to go see Dawkins and Trickster or something like that. All right, to the text line. First up, Otto said, Shauna went from 11 and 9 to 15 and 15. Also, I'm at 120 in the rankings. At least we can say that you and I are consistent with each other. That's the worst weekend so far. Yes, Otto and I have been tracking the same way on College Pick'em. So obviously you were caught in the same traps on College Pick'em. I was, Otto. DEI Texter says, where's the outrage about Brian Kilmeade openly calling for the killing of homeless people? So this thing, and I agree with you. Now, he's come out and apologized for it, right? Come out and apologized. And so I went, when I first heard it, DEI Texter, I said, well, you know, let's hear things in context, right? Because that's what we should all do. And I heard it, and I think Brian Kilmeade stepped in it. When he was on with me, and I have no other beat, but he was on with me promoting one of his books, and he and I just, I mean, never met the guy, but he was on the radio with me. We just did, like, we just, oil and water. I mean, I was trying to have just a conversation about, I forget which book it was. But that doesn't, I mean, one doesn't equal his comments, but it was weird. Like, he and I usually, if I'm talking about history with somebody, I'm kind of, they have a good conversation because I'm into it. But he and I didn't, I don't know. That was one of the interviews with the big name people who've been on the show that just didn't, felt very strange. But yeah, a DEI texter, I did see that. He did come out and apologize. But yeah, what a dunderhead thing to say, where he said that mentally ill people should have, like, involuntary lethal injection or something like that. Now, his reaction may be because of a dirtbag there in Charlotte. I would like dirtbag in Charlotte to be not part of the population anymore. But to say that people that have mental health issues, that, yeah. So DEI texture, I agree with you on that. Let's see. Michael said the right side of the aisle has tried the civil debate route for decades. It hadn't worked because the only one side's an honest arbiter. The left is only willed to tell the right what to do. And if it's not done their way, then all dialogue is over and they turn to their street organizations and turn up the violence. Natalie says TikTok is exactly where my daughter started following Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens and other conservatives. So I respectfully disagree that TikTok is a destructive approach for our youth. She learned to follow the Bible there also, and I don't understand this obsession with TikTok. Anyone, including our government and the Chinese, can get whatever info online about all of us. You know, one of the theories out there, Natalie, is the intelligentsia. Well, not even, they're not intelligentsia. The elected officials in Washington don't like TikTok because a new group of people, like, so X or Twitter, and not saying there weren't younger people on it, but the political discussion there with older people. Now they've got TikTok, and now they've got younger people that are now engaged in politics that weren't before. People in their 20s, right? I mean, there were a few nerds, I might have been one of them, in their 20s were engaged in politics, but not as many. And the thing with Natalie, I'm not saying TikTok is a good thing, and the fact that it resides the information with people that are doing the bidding of the Chinese communist. At the same time, I'm just not. You really, really got to pull me a long way to get me to move into censoring anything like this. I'm a free speech. I mean, I guess this goes back to flag burning or whatever. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in the free speech, even if you don't like it, you know? So, all right. But I do agree with Todd, the second part. Like, he wants, you know, he's all for, you know, the TikTok ban and having President Trump, who keeps putting, like, extensions on the shutting it down, keeps it open. I would argue that the second part, what Todd said, I do agree. And that, you know, the algorithms, not that you can change it, but I guess I've been talking about an algorithm-like idea for a decade and a half on this show. When I said, hey, even if I'm saying something you or agree with something, make sure you go look for another source or two. You know, and sometimes you're like, well, this thing they said is fact. And okay, this can be fact, but if you take it out of context, you need to go look at another story where that quote came from and all that. And then a lot of times you'll see it in context and go, yeah, I still don't like it. Okay, cool. But you've got to, so what Todd said there, that part it doesn't bother me. And I wish there was more critical thinking, you know, when just people see something online and it seems like slam dunk, man. That's exactly what I've been saying. When it feels that good, do take a second before you share something or, you know, comment on it. Just go make sure that it's exactly, and sometimes it is exactly that ridiculous. But you do need to use critical thinking in this. Let's see. Squirrel Free, Dadgummit Sean, Sullivan, sir, we need to call out and name and shame the people celebrating murder and spreading the false information narrative. I agree. If you're, and this, you know, what's good for me is I don't spend my time in an echo chamber. So in my group of buddies, I got people, I got probably two that are to the right of me. I've got many clustered around kind of where I am politically. I mean, not that we agree on everything, but heck, I mean, who agrees on everything? And then I got friends that are definitely to the left of me. So it is good, you know, when I'm away from this place to engage with all those folks and hear kind of their opinions and their thought of it on a subject. And I have not heard, and I've not questioned everybody like I'm writing a report, but I've not heard out of the people that are left of me, people that don't like Charlie Kirk, any one of them that said, well, it's okay to kill somebody, right? So, I know there are people out there, Squirrel Vereen, there's people out there that are saying absolutely, celebrating it. You look at the graffiti bridge thing. How many of them are there? I don't know. That, you know, and if you go online, and like for me, it'd be like Twitter, and you'll look at something and you go, okay, number one, you got to figure out, is that really a human being or is it a bot, right? Is it a real account or is it not? And then with that, go count them up. You know what I'm saying? Because I could do a news story and say, I could come in here and say, I saw people on Twitter celebrating Charlie Kirk's life or death. And then you could, and that's true. How many of them are there? I don't know. I mean, but if somebody's out there saying it, yeah, absolutely call them out. All right, let's see. Butter Knife up next. Back in the old days, 10 years ago, we had shows like Hannity and Combs. Actually, I think Hannity and Combs has been gone for a lot longer than that. And Combs has been dead. How long has he been dead? It says now all cable news gives you his commentaries telling you their opinions and having guests on their show to support their opinions. You give me a bunch of people who think the same to fix a problem, it will never be fixed. CB Carl. Did I miss something? CB Carl says, Sean, when will these fools learn the difference between a peace sign and the Mercedes logo? Okay, I'm referring to a symbol painted over the Charlie Kirk mural. Did they put the Mercedes logo on there? They didn't go to anti-Kirk protester school? This is Kana says, Graffiti Bridge in Pensacola is a railroad bridge over 17th Avenue in Pensacola. It's right before Bayou Tahar. It probably snags more high-clearance vehicles than Bankhead Tunnel ever will. I have heard that, Kana. So I personally looked down into a truckload of tomatoes. True story, the top was peeled back like a sardine can. They also like to paint it. I've seen that over the years. It was, I guess what was interesting is how quickly, if you go look at our Facebook page, once again, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, where Leanna has a picture up at the Charlie Kirk Memorial. And it was, I don't know, and Leanna maybe will tell me so I know accurately how much time it was from when that was painted, they did the memorial, to where it was what you see in the second picture. A fire dog says, where can I get tickets to Dokken and Trickster? Saw both of them way back. This weekend, like you've never heard it before, Dokken and Trickster. Yeah. Dokken and Trickster. I'd like the fact, Fire Dog, that I know you and I know that you've seen both Dokken and Trickster. I had some cousins who were the biggest Trickster fans ever. Didn't get that. The Dokken, pretty cool. The Trickster, I didn't follow so much. Let's see. Pat's in 13th place in college pickup. All right, show off. That's fine. I'm 120th, but I'm in striking distance. David says a Washington Post columnist has been fired for being critical of a conservative. Kirk, I think I've seen it all now. A WAPO one? I know the CNN one was. We got somebody else on it? Okay. Dirt Digger says, I hope TikTok is bought and it is called Trump Talk. Go MAGA. Superbomb said there's a new app called Epic Live. That's where TikTok people are going if and when TikTok shuts down. It's totally uncensored, no subject off limits. You can say the word gun, rape, murder, kill, and all the other banned words on TikTok on Epic. So Epic is that app. Remember when they were going to ban TikTok before and people were defaulting to like the real? There was another app that was like, TikTok's like got the tentacles of the Communist Chinese in it, but the other one was like their Communist Chinese app. I don't know what it was called. Remember, people were like, I'll show you. We're going to go over here to the full Chinese Communist app. I wish I remembered that. Jarhead said, Sean, I want to revisit the burning of the flag. I joined the Marines to defend people's rights to do things, but if you burn my flag, you better be damn ready to defend that right yourself. Jarhead. By the way, I heard, Jarhead, thank you for the text. I heard you with some of the discussion yesterday with Bill Finch. I'm always stalking that show. I'm always stalking Bill's show. This from Greg said, here we go. Just saw Dokken a couple years ago at the Hard Rock Live with George Lynch on guitar as part of the show, but Lynch Mob opened up for them. Poor Don Dokken's had a gnarly stroke, but definitely doesn't have the voice. No Trickster, though. Yeah, there you go. You get no Trickster. The Trickster didn't. I know my cousins will be upset that Trickster is not what it used to be. And this is from Kenny, says Lemon 8 was the app. Okay, that was the Chinese one. That was like not even kind of, like here's not even like TikTok, once again, has we worry about where the material's kept and the company that owns it being, you know, do what they're supposed to do as per the Chinese communist, but this one is, so it's Lemon 8. Why did I think it was called something else? I don't know. We'll go back and dig through that. But that's the, yeah, some people as protests back then said, oh, you're going to shut down TikTok. We're going to go to this, like, officially endorsed Chinese communist app. Right, 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll talk more about the suspect here, the Charlie Kirk assassination, as well when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1253 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. 343-0106 gets you through. Text line or phone line, 343-0106. Also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is moving along swimmingly. It's fantastic. It's more responsive than ever and has rich Corinthian leather seats as well. It's available for you if you're an iOS user over at the App Store. If you're a Android user over at Google Play, just look for FMTALK 1065. Grab the app right there. And listen to the station. See our first place, our podcast poster there. Our social media feeds all collated in one place. Show schedules, one button to text from there, a call, and our talkback message, which is that microphone icon on the front page. Unless you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back. Also, a reminder, sometime between now and the conclusion of said program, Midday Mobile today, your chance at a family four-pack of tickets to go to the GND Outdoor Expo. Tickets for all 3 days. Your chance to win those coming up sometime during the show today. And another tease to get you next hour. Another reason to challenge the Trump tariffs. I don't know if y'all saw this, but this is the hard-hitting. It's coming out hard-hitting. It's what tariffs could do to your pumpkin spice latte. Tariffs and pumpkin spice will be in the news here shortly. All right, to the text line here. And thank you. David sent me a link to it, so I had not seen that one yet. Washington Post columnist says she was fired for social media post after Kirk was killed. Washington Post, so we're talking about the Washington Post, too, so not exactly a bastion of conservatism. Washington Post columnist Karen Ataya said today she was fired from the publication over social media posts she made following the killing of Charlie Kirk. Writing in a lengthy Substack post, Ataya said she was dismissed over her post on Blue Sky that she said were deemed to be unacceptable, gross misconduct, and endangered the physical safety of her colleagues. She went on to say, they rushed to fire me without even a conversation. This was not over a hasty overreach. This was not only a hasty overreach, but a violation of the very standards of journalistic fairness and rigor that the Post claims to uphold. End quote. A spokesperson for the Washington Post declined to comment on personnel matters. Washington Post public social media policy requires employees to ensure any post made do not make, quote, reasonable people question their editorial independence, nor make reasonable people question the post's ability to cover issues fairly, end quote. I think that's probably a fair thing for that was probably used elsewhere too, right? I mean, you have First Amendment rights, but you signed a contract that says you're going to do this while you work for them, so... All right, to the text line here, but thank you, Dave, for that. Let's see. Yes, thank you. Superbomb said on the apps, it's up. That Lemon 8 is owned by Facebook. That's not it. Red Note, that's it. Thank you, Superbomb. Red Note was a Chinese app that everybody went to. Oh, okay, sorry, correction here. Lemon 8 is owned by ByteDance, which is that company that has some fealty to the communist Chinese. So ByteDance does own Lemon 8, but the one that they went to, so thank you. The person who said Lemon 8, you're also correct that that was ByteDance, but the Red Note one was the thing that I said. Where it was like, we're going to show you, we're going to go to the one that is absolutely like the general issue communist Chinese app. I don't know if they stayed on that. This texture says, I know that was one of them. My whole family, other than me, downloaded it. There you go. Oh, my gosh. Houndstooth. Says Trickster and Dokken sound like the opening act of a Winger concert. Remember how Winger was portrayed? Was it? It'd Beavis and Butthead. I don't know if it made it into King of the Hill, but Mike Judge's constant pillaring of Winger used to make me laugh so much. Let's see. Barry says, have you seen where China hasn't purchased a single soybean this year? They purchased 58% last year. 58% of our total crop, Barry? I have not looked at that. Interesting. I have to go pull some of the websites, some of the ag websites I look at. That's an interesting story. Look at it like around me, and there's not a lot of bean farming going on around me because we don't have the dirt for it. I did see I went up to Washington County the other day out in the river swamp, and there's some fields on the way in there. They were growing some beans. I saw some beans being grown, but not a ton. Around me, it's cotton and it's peanuts. Which is crazy that I heard the peanut prices are through the roof and all the people farming around me are cotton this year. Because sometimes they don't do a perfect rotation, right? It's not one year. Sometimes they go, prices are good. We'll do 2 years of peanuts or 2 years of cotton. But lots of cotton around me now. All right, coming back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile.